It's the Monday after the time change, trying to get you motivated and moving here for this Monday, the 13th of March. Welcome back to the Sheldon McCloud Show, halfway through. And again, a big thanks to producer Alex for all that she does. And thank you guys for spending a little bit of your day with us here on News 95.7. I'm going to connect with Janet Hazelton. She's the president of the Nova Scotia Nurses Union in just a few moments. Had noticed that with all of the discussion last week about, teachers and education, and, what about the healthcare unions? Are they any closer to striking a deal with the province over collective bargaining? In fact, it sounds like the nurses haven't even started negotiating yet for their contract. We're going to open the door to that conversation in a few moments. After 2:30, Chris D'Entrema, the Argyle-Barrington MLA, and with the public opinion poll showing the Liberals' fortune sliding somewhat. What about the assertion that there could be a constitutional challenge if we have an election before we settle the issue about specialty seats, including the Francophone seat? We'll ask that of Chris in just a bit. And the founder of Halifax Nonprofit, receiving a Minister's Award for Leadership and Crime Prevention, Jennifer Bernier, is our guest, just before we talk with Ray Tench and Money Matters this afternoon. But right now, this has been an ongoing battle by the community for a number of years. In fact, as full disclosure, I was a member of the Hebbville SAC, School Advisory Council, who several years ago was involved with a school review involving Petite and Pence Elementary Schools. And at the time, there was a lot of pressure for a new school to be, announced. And there was a board motion that came forward that said if there was a new school, then the Pence and Petite schools would close. And that's not been what the narrative has shown over the last little while. And in recent weeks, the community in Pence on Nova Scotia's South Shore has come together to try and do all they can to have the province take note. And here on the line with us this afternoon is a guest that we've visited many times in the past, and we've invited him back to our program this afternoon, Alif Helmer, and he is a part of the group looking to save Petite. Leif, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thanks so much for having me there, Sheldon.
The idea that the whole hub school model was one that was discussed some time ago, and the province has acknowledged it's something they're interested in discussing. Will you have to go back to that discussion in order to try and make a case to keep keep Petite open?
No, I don't think so. Unfortunately, the hub school approach is not been successful for many of the communities that have tried it, and at this point our approach is simply to turn over those decisions to close. They were poorly considered decisions in the first place, and really want to work with this board to do a better job on the question closure. We don't agree, and we'd like to see them find a way to keep them open.
There is a webpage, Petite for the Future. It's a WordPress site, and it's pretty easy to find if you want to Google search that this afternoon. Let's talk a little bit about, several years ago when the decision was taken to, talk about a new school. And one of the arguments that I had as a member of the process was that, it didn't make a whole lot of sense when, some money in renovations could prolong the lives of these schools and not disrupt the entire community. And no one seemed to be really asking for a new school. Has that changed? Has the community been asking for a new school, from what you can tell?
Speaking from my own involvement from Petite Riviere, and not for the entire community, of course, but our school advisory committee has been very clear that we didn't feel a new building or a new school was ever really a viable idea. We didn't feel like there was the financial budget in the province for that, and we questioned that right from the outset. It was never our first choice. It was reluctantly our second choice, but never our first choice. We always have suggested that something more modest to renovate and bring our school up to current standard would be just fine, and there's likely more likelihood of that being funded.
Has there been ongoing renovations? Has Petite been given any money to do any kind of upgrade or maintenance since March of 2013?
Yes, absolutely. Lots and small amounts, and just by the board, ongoing maintenance. But for example, some really important accessibility was added to the building. Those kind of considerations weren't in place in the 1960s when the building was first constructed. And in fact, it was a strike against us that we didn't have accessible accessibility in terms of washrooms and otherwise. But all those have been put in place in the recent years. The building has had some maintenance in terms of its exterior paint, and they're not letting it run down completely. There is ongoing maintenance, but what we're suggesting is that they need to ask for new capital, not for a new building, but new capital for a renovation.
Have you budgeted that? Have you figured out what it would cost? Have you gotten any numbers to back up that that ask?
Absolutely. So last year, in January of 2016, the school board had an independent consulting company do that work. And so we took that as a sign that the board was interested in at least exploring that option. And so they had Stantec, an engineering company, do building assessments of both Petite Riviere and Pence. And we pushed hard to get them to do those reports. They came in, and the report's finding was that the best educational value is a renovation, and the numbers are between 5.5 and 6 million. And while that might sound like a lot, it would be for one of the buildings, and it would give another generation of time or a refresh of those buildings, similar to what a lot of other buildings in this school board get. They get kind of a midlife refresh.
As mentioned, we're talking with Leif Helmer here this afternoon, and he's been involved in his community in the efforts to keep their school in their community in Petite Riviere. Let's talk a little bit about, government said, hey, a new school, that's only $10 million. Really? I don't know any government project that's ever been able to be completed on time and on budget. And I questioned that at the time, given that the experts who were, tasked with providing the information, we were told, hey, you can have experts to answer your questions, but really there was a sense that Deloitte and the other companies that were working for the school board were working for the school board and not necessarily for the community SACs.
Yes, we've always questioned whether the estimate for a new build was correct. We always felt like that was an underestimation of a new build. And likewise, it seems like the overestimating perhaps how much a renovation would cost. And so it's been a bit of a numbers game, and the reality is the board has asked three times now for a new building, and it's been turned down three times in the province's capital plan. And so what we're asking for them to do is simply, as we're running out of time here, ask for a renovation. Again, it's new money for the board. It doesn't come from the board's budget. It's new capital, but it's for a renovation. So we are imploring them to do that, and they have yet to do that.
One of the, challenges right now for you and for your community is that the current board chair, Elliot Pezant, has said, no, we can't go back on a motion that was made back in 2013. In fact, some of the board members of the day felt they were saying, as I've said, which was, they were voting if there is a new school, then there would be a closure, not close it and then build a new school. Elliot Pezant seems to be stuck on some kind of legal advice he says he was given that says that's not possible. That doesn't, I don't know that that makes any sense, given that the Minister of Education says that the board could rescind this motion if they so chose.
Yes, it's definitely an impasse, and the board chair seems to be at odds with the minister on this. And it's very unfortunate because he recognizes that it was his clarification the night of that vote in 2013 that may have influenced his board members to agree to vote to close only if a new school was secured. And he stated that publicly, and he's open about that. And yet, on the other hand, we're being told that the decision is final, there's no other options, it's out of his control, it's out of the board's control, and we just have to move on, and it's a lesson learned. And that is incredibly insulting and unacceptable to us to be the collateral damage of a mistake from 2013.
Is there anything you can do to perhaps fight this, aside from going to court and spending money out of pocket?
Absolutely. We're not going to court. We just want to be clear. We're not going to do a legal injunction or judicial review against the board, even though we're disappointed with their actions to date, what we're still looking for is a positive resolution here where they can make it right and honor their intent from that initial decision, which we think was flawed, through a flawed process. And so we've secured a legal opinion that shows them the way and provides that positive outcome. And at this point, we'd like to share that with the board. So that's our next step.
Your MLA happens to also be a member of Cabinet, Mark Fury. What's he saying to you?
He's been very clear that he thinks that the board can change its mind. He addressed the public meeting that we had a couple of weeks ago, and he's been consistent in that all along. And I think it's fair to say that he, along with everybody else in the meeting in February at the last school board meeting, was disappointed with the outcome. You have a school board member trying to bring forward a notice and bring forward a motion to revisit that old decision, and it was shot down, and no further debate essentially was allowed. So everybody that night felt like it didn't quite seem right, and certainly not final.
So what next? Where do you go?
Well, we share the legal opinion, and from there we continue to work with the board. We have a short window, and we think that if they are open to moving from the position they're in and getting on side with the community and getting on side with the minister on this one, that we can all work together. And if not, then we'll see.
We could very well have an election in the next or an actual election call in the next several months. Wondering, given that there have been instances in the past where ministers of education have removed school boards, that's an option that exists to this minister and any minister, education minister. Does it need to get to that point where you're going to ask the minister to step in and perhaps fire the board?
No, I don't think so. And I don't foresee that as being a realistic or positive outcome here. Like, as I said, we're trying to work with them, trying to help them find a solution that is a win for them and the community. And if that's, I think that we can do that through a mediated or some other type of negotiated discussion. I don't think we need to start getting into the heavy-handed approaches, and I just don't foresee that happening in this particular trajectory anyhow.
Well, while we're speaking there, Leif, someone had called up and said, Robert's Rules, according to this caller, Robert's Rules says these kinds of motions can be appealed, overturned. Is that the opinion you have?
Yeah, it's certainly the opinion of our lawyer, and the school board uses a slightly modified version of Robert's Rules, but absolutely, we see in their bylaws several tools that allow them to do this. And keeping in mind, this is a newly elected board, elected in October, so it would be revisiting or rescinding a motion from a former board. So, and just imagine if you were a new member of this new board, and you're being told that you have to, live and die by a motion 4 years ago that you had no part of, that you don't agree with. And, that's the situation as it's presently understood by the school board chair. So we think that there's a right way to do this, and we think we're on the right side of that.
All right. Well, we'll keep talking about the issue, and hopefully we'll have a resolve that works. As we've said often, school boards are tasked with closing schools. Ministers open them, and three times this has been on the top of the list, and it hasn't happened. So, Leif, thanks for sharing the story with us again.
No problem. Anytime.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Leif Helmer is his name, and he's involved with the Petit Elementary School, SAC, and has also helped rally the community. Petit for the Future is the webpage they've developed. They've got a video. If you're interested, search that out, and it'll give you a really delightful, insightful look as to why this community is so adamant that it's a growing community, and it needs its school, and it needs its school where it is.